This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
7:48, Wednesday, the 6th of April, and you're listening to The Morning Run. Now, we woke up to news yesterday that the government has agreed to a proposal to restructure four Klang Valley Highway concessionaires, which will ensure that toll rates will not rise until the concessions expire.
According to Prime Minister Dato Sri Ismail Sabri, the highways, namely Kasas, Smart, Sprint and LDP, will be acquired by Amanat Labuan Raya. Rakyat, ALR, a private and not-for-profit company mandated to assist the government with the restructuring. The deal is valued at around 5.5 billion ringgit based on the total enterprise value of the highways.
And the government said this move will save them at least 4.3 billion ringgit in subsidies, which was supposed to be paid from January 1st this year until the end of the concession periods. But the net result for motorists is that there will be no toll fare hike in the time being except for the smart tunnel. But apart from that, how else would this deal benefit Malaysians? And is this the only way for the government to approach this issue?
For some insights into this deal, we speak to P. Gunasegaran. He's an independent writer and consultant. Good morning, Guna. Always good to speak to you. Now, we look at the Gamuda filing, because they are one of the owners of the concessionaire. ALR is not for-profit private entity with no profit-orientated shareholders. But on the backdrop of the recent My Sejahtera controversy, which stemmed from a private company's CSR initiative, are there any red flags we should keep an eye on?
No, I don't think there is in this case here. This is not a CSR project awarded to a private sector company. Yeah? So instead, the deal looks like a repackaged version of the earlier Harapan deal, which was for 6.2 billion. The current one is around 5.5 billion. So the difference is about 700 more previously. But you have to balance this against no extension of tolls and non-peak reductions in the previous deal. So this does not raise red flags in the sense of My Sejahtera. But to just look at the deal further, if you compare it with the previous one, there are no extensions and no increase in tolls under the previous one as well. The only major difference is that instead of being put under an SPV, a special purpose vehicle, which will be owned under the Ministry of Finance under the previous deal, it is now being put under a not-for-profit organization where the directors are actually quite respectable and people in the industry. So that is a major difference in this case. That means by putting it under the not-for-profit thing, the government has ensured that there will be no debt which should be taken up by the government. Whereas in the previous arrangement under an SPV with the Ministry of Finance, the debt figure will go up for the government. So the debt can go up by as much as the acquisition price, which is 5.5 billion.
Okay, so Guna, let's focus a little bit on this ALR. You highlighted that there are some notable individuals there who are directors. So even the likes of Tan Sri Azlan Mohamed Zainal Amihi, of course, yes, from EPF fame, and Datuk Som Heng Chun from IJM. So some famous names there. But I gather from a Malaysia Kini article that the government has no stake. So I'm just curious, who is running this company and what is their agenda? Do we know anything about this? And should highways be owned by a private entity?
See, the only agenda is to return any excess money back to the government and to ensure that there is no toll increases, and at the same time to ensure that the entire concession is run properly and safely. That is the only agenda that this has. You know, so it is clearly stated that if they make any extra money, that money will be returned to the government so as to further shorten the toll period.
So who's the owner of ALR then?
I suppose it may be run by a sort of like a charter perhaps. You know, it's a not-for-profit organization. There may be some nominal shareholdings to inject the amounts which are needed to run the organization.
And I just want to contrast, you may kind of implying that this is not a bad option, you know, considering the other option was to SPV it under Ministry of Finance. What this happens here is that you have the governance, that the government doesn't shoulder any debt per se. That's something you're kind of implying that's a pro with this, right? What are the challenges with this kind of structure?
Well, the main thing is I see maybe three areas of concern even in this takeover. So while the positive effect is that there will be no increase in tolls, but this is offset by an increase in the overall tenures of the toll concessions. So there is a possibility that the tenures will increase by 5 to 10 years for three of those concessions, the exception being the smart tunnel, where the tenure will be reduced. So, but so related to this is the issue of valuation. You're talking about the MRT, which is rapidly developing, then, and there is another 60 billion development coming up. So with the MRT developing, there is a distinct possibility that the toll revenues can decrease very considerably in the near future. So this is something that I'm not sure whether this has been fully taken into account.
Okay.
So, yeah. The other two will be, besides that, these four concessions operate in KL area where traffic congestion is high. So should we prioritize lowering tolls then? You know, these are economic considerations which cannot be answered without further data. And some of these tolls are expiring soon, some of these toll concessions. For instance, the Kasas concession will be expiring in August 18th, 2023, according to some reports. For Litrak, this will expire in August 14th, 2030, which is maybe about 7 years away, you know. So these kind of things require further study to basically understand the valuation and to see whether it's correct.
Yeah, I want to also understand about the savings that government say they can have, which is 6 billion ringgit. And then there will be no
I think it's 4.3 billion, isn't it? The net savings they're talking about. Is it 6 billion?
I believe so. But okay. I just want to understand that, you know, how are we able to achieve this?
See, essentially, if you have a situation where there are no toll increases, the government will have to pay compensation to the toll concessionaires because there is actually a schedule for increased tolls. So so the government has calculated that based on existing figures, I suppose, and projections, that this is 4.3 billion in compensation that they have to pay the toll operators if they do not increase the tolls.
Okay, you are right, Gunnar. It's 4.3 billion in subsidies. But let's go back to the question in terms of the price tag of 5.48 billion. Does that sound fair? Because you highlighted some of the concessions are close to expiry. So how should we price this deal then?
It's pretty difficult to say whether it is fair or not. You know, all right. It's 700 million less than what the previous government, Harapan government, had proposed. You know, in their valuation. So it should be 700 million less, perhaps, simply because 2 years have elapsed, you know, since then. Mm. And also, since it is 2 years closer to the expiry of the contract, then the value of the concession should be accordingly lower. So there are too many things that we do not know to actually make a judgment on whether the valuation is fair. Is it? So, for instance, the three things that I mentioned earlier. So, what if, for instance, the toll revenue falls as a result of MRT coming into operation? You know, so, and that will be in the next few years. Has that been sufficiently taken into account? These are questions for the board, for this new board of ALR to answer and to reassure the public that everything is okay.
Okay, so Gunnar, just, you know, a back of envelope calculation, and maybe we don't have all the information, but do you think this is a good deal from a public perspective?
All right. I mean, the question I would ask is, economically, is it really vital to ensure that the tolls are not increased? So shouldn't you be, when you have the MRT, shouldn't you actually be discouraging people from using their cars but using the MRT instead?
Yes, for sure. Yeah.
So if the answer is yes, then perhaps topping toll increases is really not a huge priority for the government.
So in other words, the government should just let the toll concessioners increase their toll as accordance to whatever agreement they assign in the first place. Is that your perspective?
Yes, perhaps they should consider that. I can't say for sure whether they should or not, but this is definitely something they should consider. So in this case here, what they're doing is you are having a valuation and you're paying cash upfront to the shareholders, and the main shareholder in all of this is Gamuda. And as we know, Gamuda wants a lot of cash to take part in other large projects, which includes the 46 billion Penang Transport Master Plan, as well as the 60 billion MRT3. Yeah? Mm. So the not-for-profit takes on additional risk, you know, because there is a possibility of toll revenues
declining
quite sharply in the future. See.
All right. Thank you so much for your time. That was P. Gunasekaran, independent writer and consultant, with his views on ALR and the takeover of four highways. Keep it here, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.